We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Isn't it time that we protect every human being in America, including the preborn, handicapped, and elderly? Go to personhoodflorida.com today to sign the Personhood Amendment to establish liberty and justice for all. Again, that's personhoodflorida.com.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Associate Pastor Brian Longworth.
Last week, we actually started a sermon series on pro-life legislation, and we talked last week about why so many Christians support evil legislation. And today, we're actually going to apply that principle. We're going to apply it to actually look at what the Bible says legislation should have and should not have, some principles from the Bible. And also, we are going to actually apply the scripture to laws that are currently being contemplated by the Florida legislature, and including some that some pro-lifers are supporting that really they should not be supporting. And we're going to make a biblical case for this. We are going to be going up to Tallahassee, actually, to lobby our legislators, our Florida House and Florida Senate members, and to actually advocate for the protection of every innocent human life. We're going up there on behalf of Personhood Florida, which is a statewide organization. We're actually working to protect human life from the beginning of biological development all the way to natural death. So we're working to protect human beings created not only in the womb, but also in laboratories. Scientists have actually created glow-in-the-dark human beings by human embryos, by taking and mixing a human embryo with a portion of a jellyfish and making a glow-in-the-dark human. We're working also to protect the disabled. One of the things that you see in many laws and is a fetal anomaly. And when you talk about fetal anomaly, one of the things you're talking about, one of the people, the types of people you're talking about is Down syndrome people. 90% of all Down syndrome children are killed by abortion. And actually 10% of the tests return a false positive. So 10% of those who are killed didn't even have Down syndrome. We're also working to protect seniors. The end of life is very critical that we work to protect the end of life. The Bible talks about not forsaking me. Do not forsake me when I am old. And this is something that we need to value human life, even the human life. And by the way, under Nazi Germany, they started to talk about useless eaters. And they were talking about children, they were talking about the disabled, they were talking about seniors, and working toward developing the mentality that it's okay to kill certain people who aren't contributing enough to society. So we are working, we should never hasten death in seniors by starvation, dehydration, and over medication. We do have a constitutional amendment. By the way, we are also working to protect the disabled, not only people that are Down syndrome, but anyone else that may be disabled, like Terry Schiavo. We do have a proposed constitutional amendment. You can find that at personhoodflorida.com. And it is the right to life of all persons recognized and protected. And the main language of this amendment says the God-given right to life of every human being at any stage of development shall be recognized and protected. Just very, very plain and clear language. Attorney Matt Staver from the Liberty Council has signed our amendment and does support it. We also have a proposed Personhood Act. It puts the same language of the amendment into statutory language and also adds information about nullification of Roe. What do we mean by nullification of Roe? Well, we're talking about Roe versus Wade here. And what we mean by nullification is where either an executive branch or a lesser magistrate actually opposes an unjust law or an unjust, in this case, an unjust court decision. And what really should happen is that states should exercise their 10th Amendment right to do what the federal government has abdicated. We have every human being in the state in this nation should have a right to life. We see that all men are created equal. We're endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We get that from the Declaration of Independence. From the Constitution, the U.S. Constitution, we see that no person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process. So, the Supreme Court couldn't figure out whether a preborn child is a person or not, which is why in Roe versus Wade, they determined that it's okay to kill preborn children. Of course, there have been many other bad Supreme Court decisions, or at least some other bad Supreme Court decisions, including the Dred Scott decision, where the Supreme Court ruled that it was legal for someone to own another person, and that slavery was legal. We also have seen the Buck versus Bell decision, where the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that three generations of imbeciles is enough, and because of that, they could forcibly sterilize a black woman who someone considered to be an imbecile. By the way, the Supreme Court has never overturned that there isn't any constitutional amendment that takes it or that counteracts that. But obviously, it would be insane for anyone to stand up and say, this is the law of the land, this is what we need to follow. Yet this is what happens today with Roe versus Wade. We actually look at Roe versus Wade and people say, this is the law of the land. No, it's not the law of the land. The U.S. Supreme Court cannot make law. They're not a legislative body. Our founding fathers in the Constitution gave them a very specific role, and legislation was not in their purview. So we are actually looking for brave men and women in the state of Florida, in the Florida House and Florida Senate, to stand up and sponsor and co-sponsor the Personhood Act. When we look at legislation, we look at legislation first must protect human life, not based on what we can do or can accomplish, but based on the fact that we are created in God's image. You see, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 27, then God said, let us make man in our own image, in our image, according to our likeness, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the creeping, all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And then if we base, instead of basing the protection of human life on the fact that we're created in God's image, if we instead base it on bodily function, if we base it on what we can do, what we can't do, if we base it on how we look, how much money we have, what we can bring to the table, how much we can produce, then what we have is we have a situation where we protect some, as Tom Brady later on today, as he leads the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in a game, hoping to win and move one step closer to the Super Bowl. His offensive line is going to protect him. We certainly would protect his life. He's valuable. He can throw touchdowns. He can win Super Bowls. But we also should have protected Terri Schiavo. She wasn't, just because there were certain things that she couldn't do, doesn't mean that she should have been starved and dehydrated to death. As we did in the state of Florida, we starved and dehydrated this woman to death because she was determined to not have a certain amount of bodily function that you and I have. Legislation also should not devise evil by law. This comes from Psalm 94, verses 20 through 21. Shall the throne of iniquity, which devises evil by law, have fellowship with you? They gather together against the life of the righteous and condemn innocent blood. What are we talking about here? Well, we're talking about language that's in most pro-life bills, such as no abortion shall be performed unless. Now, let's just, we say maybe it's an ultrasound. Maybe it's parental consent. Well, the parents have to consent. Maybe it's a 24-hour waiting period, or the preborn child is first anesthetized, or something else. Well, imagine this. No one can own a slave unless no one could lynch anyone unless they first see a picture of the person they intend to lynch. Well, that'll slow them down. They have their parents' consent. They have waited 24 hours before they lynch someone. The person being lynched is first anesthetized. So, I mean, you see that this would obviously make no sense. It would be totally ludicrous to apply these same standards to another act that we find abhorrent. And one day abortion will be found abhorrent. And these quote-unquote pro-life laws that specifically allow abortion, whenever we actually are able to pass a legislation or an amendment to protect every innocent human life, we are going to have to go through the statute and remove every single pro-life law, because almost every one of them specifically would legalize abortion in the absence. In fact, if Roe versus Wade is overturned, these pro-life laws will legalize abortion, because all you have to do is have an ultrasound. All you have to do is have a 24-hour waiting period. All you have to do is have parental consent. All you have to do is, even if some of the bills that are passed this legislative session are passed, well, you're still going to be able to have an abortion if you meet certain requirements and certain guidelines. So those bills will legalize abortion, and that's evil. That's what we're talking about when we talk about supporting evil laws. Legislation also must not punish children for the sins of their fathers. And what we're talking about here is rape and incest. And rape and incest is a horrible thing to go through. One of the things that happens with rape and incest is actually you see that many times the rapist or the person that's committing incest, which is also rape in most cases, is actually bringing the girl to an abortion clinic and paying for the abortion, which will then cover up his actions and allow him to continue to rape or commit incest, and will allow him to continue to abuse this girl. And you see this also with sex trafficking. There's also, well, we're going to allow abortion because you're a victim of sex trafficking. Well, obviously they're going to go back out and continue in that sex trafficking. We should actually have laws that our laws should actually protect the women. And we should also punish fathers, those who are committing rape, those who are committing incest. The Bible actually says in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verse 16, fathers shall not be put to death for their children, nor shall children be put to death for their fathers. A person shall be put to death for his own sins. In America, if we were to roll back the date, if we were to roll back the calendar, maybe 60 or 70 years, in every state in this nation, the penalty for rape would either be life in prison or death. Today, we no longer put the rapist to death. What we do today is we actually put the preborn children to death. We send the rapist to jail for a short period of time, let them out, put them on a sexual offender list so that they can repeat. Obviously, that's not the intent, but that is what happens very often. One of the things when we talk about rape and incest exceptions, we have to realize we are talking about real people. And there are real people who are walking around today, probably people that you have met that actually are exceptions that have been conceived, that were conceived in rape or incest. Our person at Florida board member, Pam Stensel, actually was conceived in rape. And pro-life attorney Rebecca Kiesling also was conceived in rape. Their lives were valuable, and the life of preborn children, even those who have been conceived in rape, as horrible as rape is, and by the way, those who have gone through rape and abortion, many of those have said that the abortion was more traumatic than the rape. We need to have legislation that actually protects the preborn children, punishes the rapist, and also protects the women from going through the horrors of abortion. So there are some no exceptions converts, and one is former governor Rick Perry, who was running for president. Rebecca Kiesling met him, asked him what his position on abortion was. He said he's opposed to abortion except in the cases of rape and incest. And she said, "I'm an exception. You're talking about killing me. I would have been killed if your standard were applied." And he immediately changed his position. You also probably have heard of Abby Johnson. And Abby Johnson who the movie Unplanned and the book Unplanned, she wrote the book Unplanned, and the movie Unplanned was written about her, or was made about her story. She is a no exceptions convert, and she realizes, in fact, one of the things that Abby Johnson says is that in the abortion mill, in the Planned Parenthood abortion mill where she worked, when a woman was raped and they had an abortion, they actually had to save the preborn child that had been killed by abortion as evidence against the rapist. And this is interesting that she realized, even back then, even while she was working at Planned Parenthood, she realized that these preborn children, their lives are valuable, even. And that's one of the things, you know, that whole idea, and even her watching and going through an abortion, and watching the ultrasound, watching the baby move away from the instrument that would kill the baby, is one of the things that really changed her mind on abortion. Legislation must also protect the mother and her preborn child. The life of the mother exception is one of the things that does happen quite often. You see this in a lot of legislation. We're going to see it in some of the legislation that is being presented this year. In fact, it's in the two pro-life bills. The two major pro-life bills that are being presented have life of the mother exceptions. Now, there are times that it's necessary to prematurely deliver a baby. But there's never a time that's necessary to slice that baby's arms and legs off and crush her skull. That's never necessary to save the life of a preborn child. In Exodus chapter 21, verses 22 through 23, we read, "If men fight and hurt a woman with child so that she gives birth prematurely, yet no harm follows, he shall surely be punished according to the woman's, as the woman's husband imposes on him, and he shall pay as the judge is determined. But if any harm follows, you shall give life for life." There's a Dublin Declaration where over 1,000 medical providers sign this Dublin Declaration, which affirms that abortion is not medically necessary to save the life of a mother. Again, sometimes premature delivery may be necessary. And in some cases, that may be prior to viability and the preborn child may die. But that is very different than purposely killing a child through abortion, slicing their arms and legs off, crushing their skull, or doing some other form of abortion to actually kill them. One of the things that we actually have in our family have firsthand experience in this, because when my wife was pregnant with our first child, she wouldn't allow me to show a picture of her when after that pregnancy and after that birth, because she was in such a bad shape physically. My wife almost died, and we had to go to a special doctor, and we had to, she was under care. She was supposed to be under bed rest, although that she didn't always follow those guidelines, but she was actually, her life was at risk, but the doctors also cared for our daughter's life by keeping our daughter inside of my wife as long as they could. But when the time came that my wife's physical vital signs started to deteriorate to the point where her life was at risk, the doctors came in and said, we need to do emergency surgery. And this is my daughter flying through the air on one of her dance performances. Thankfully, we were able to, then the doctors were able to save both my wife and our daughter. And they did that by caring for both of them. Real doctors care for both the mother and the preborn child. Legislators also must protect innocent human life. James 4:17 says, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. You can't stand behind and say, well, the House leadership won't support this, or the Senate leadership won't support this, or the governor won't support this, or the courts will overrule it. You have to do what is right and do your part and allow other people to do their part. So we're looking at proposed legislation here. So there is House Bill 5, Senate Bill 146, reducing fetal and infant mortality. This law bans abortion after 15 weeks gestation. We actually believe that humans should be protected from fertilization to natural death. Most abortions, you may not know this, realize this, most abortions in Florida actually already happen by 15 weeks. So we do believe that this bill will have minimal impact, even if it is enforced. One of the things we'll see is that it probably will not be enforced, because the current standard actually makes illegal third trimester abortions, yet there are there are abortion mills that are advertising third trimester abortions. So what would make us think that the Florida Department of Health is going to enforce this bill? This law doesn't include a penalty for violating the law. If the preborn child is fully human, their murder through abortion should carry the same penalty as a murder of a human outside the womb. Also, this does have exceptions that allow the death of the preborn child, allow the murder of the preborn child, if a mother's life or health, not only life, but also health, is at risk. And all they have to have is two doctors that say the life is at risk. One of those doctors would be the abortionist who is financially incentivized to determine that the mother's life or health is at risk. Also, they could easily get some other doctor that maybe isn't a very good doctor to be willing to say this and receive some money for it. Also, if in the case of a fatal fetal anomaly, this bill allows for the destruction of innocent human life. Now, you can say, well, the baby's going to die anyway. It's a fatal fetal anomaly. Well, sometimes, in fact, some of those diagnoses in the womb are not accurate. And when they're inaccurate, quite often they're saying that there's a greater risk, or that there is a risk or a fatal fetal anomaly when there is not. And also, secondly, even if the child will die, it's not, God hasn't given to us the ability to put to death and to give life or to take life. That is for God and God alone. You also have House Bill 167, entitled Abortion. It's also known as the Heartbeat Bill. This is based on the Texas Heartbeat Bill. This law bans abortion after detectable heartbeat. So there are some good things about this bill. It doesn't have exceptions for rape, incest, or a fetal anomaly. It also replaces the word fetus with unborn child in the Florida statutes in several cases. The bad, though, this bill actually sadly fails to protect unborn children as they are humans, and also the preborn child without a detectable heartbeat are not protected. And by the way, the detection is in the hands of the abortionist who's being paid to kill this baby. And all he has to do is not be able to detect a heartbeat, and then he's able to go on and kill that baby, or she, if the abortionist happens to be a woman. It's based on basis the protection of human life on physical ability. In doing this, the law opens the door to end human life when a human no longer has a certain physical and or mental ability, as in the case of Terry Schiavo. There is also an explicit exception for medical emergency that is ripe for exploitation. The law is not enforceable apart from civil lawsuits, which may provide temporary gains without long-term success. And the law still bows to the tyrannical powers of the U.S. Supreme Court in the unjust Roe versus Wade decision. So, there are a few other bills that we're going to be going over up in Tallahassee, and you can actually go to our website, personhoodflorida.com, and you can view the analysis, the bill analysis that we are presenting in Tallahassee. But it is important, vitally important, that we apply biblical principles to every area of life, including to legislation, especially when we're talking about legislation that involves life and death. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Isn't it time that we protect every human being in America, including the preborn, handicapped, and elderly? Go to personhoodflorida.com today to sign the Personhood Amendment to establish liberty and justice for all. Again, that's personhoodflorida.com.
Silence the noise, because I want to hear clearly. Silence the noise, silence the noise, because I